Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
WNYC, 93.9 FM, AM 820, and WNYC.org.
It's Throwback Thursday. You know that social media hashtag, TBT, for Throwback Thursday? We are marking our upcoming 25th anniversary of The Brian Lehrer Show with a dip into the archives every Thursday. And starting in September, we'll be looking at the last 25 years, over 25 of our radio shows. But this week's Brian Lehrer Show TBT is a clip from Salman Rushdie, author of several books, including Midnight's Children and Satanic Verses, obviously for which Ayatollah Khomeini of Iran issued a fatwa against him in 1989, 25 years ago. In our 2002 conversation, Rushdie reflected on the moral choices we'd have to make as a country after 9/11.
The issue of how you reconcile the demands of a free society with the demands of security, that's going to be the argument that we're all going to be having, as far as I can see, for the next 10 or 15 years.
So 10 or 15 years from 2002, that's now. You can listen to the whole Throwback Thursday clip on Facebook.com/Brian Lehrer WNYC and like us there if you haven't already. We'll take another dip into the archives next week.
Oh, it's a sensation. The public is screaming for more.
More what?
Talking pictures.
Used to be in silent pictures. Used to be big.
I am big. It's the pictures that got small.
You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Things apply as time goes by.
How many of those lines did you recognize? Can you name the movies? My next guest certainly can. Ken Turan, film critic for the Los Angeles Times, and you know him from NPR. And recently he wrote a collection of essays accompanying his favorite movies of all time. His book is called Not to Be Missed, 54 Favorites from a Lifetime of Film, and he joins me now in the studio. Hey, Ken Turan.
Good to be here.
And listeners, you can see the list, which we posted, of Ken's 54 favorite movies on our page. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and call in or write on our social media pages to nominate a 55th film, 212-433-WNYC, if you want to do it on the air. Nominate the 55th film to Kenneth Turan's Top 54, 212-433-9692. So start off our list. How do you choose among the really iconic big-name films, the Casablanca list?
Yeah, I mean, I just was the ones that meant the most to me. You know, this is not the best films ever made. These are the ones I can see over and over and over again, the ones I enjoy thinking about, writing about, seeing. And, you know, and I wanted to share them with people who might not know about them. Some of them, obviously, people know about, but some of them are kind of obscure and people might not have seen them.
Is there a single film that you have seen more times than any other film?
That's a good question.
Because you said over and over again.
Maybe The Godfather, just a variety of circumstances, which is one of my favorite films, or Children of Paradise, which is probably is my favorite film. And that's a long one. That's 3 hours. But every chance I get, I watch it.
How many times would that be for someone in your business?
Oh, gosh, it's not as many as you might think. Maybe half a dozen times. You know, I have so many new films to deal with.
Why is Children of Paradise maybe your favorite?
Well, I'm a romantic. I like romance. And this is really I like French films. This is an epic French romance. I was a history major. It's a historical drama. It's got great characters. It's got great acting. It's got an amazing conclusion. It has everything I'm looking for in a film.
That was a 1940s film, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. It was made at the very end of World War II and was made under difficult conditions. There was still German occupation. You never would know any of this watching the film. It's just an impeccable piece of work.
And you break out your list by decade. So I'm looking at your 1940s list, which also does include Casablanca, Pride and Prejudice, The Shop Around the Corner, 1940, and To Be or Not to Be version of that.
Yeah, I love that film. I mean, that was such a difficult film in its day. That was a satire on the Nazis in the middle of World War II when people were not thinking it was a good idea to be laughing about the Nazis.
Let's go on to the 50s. All About Eve in 1950, one of the you know, humongous ones.
Yeah, yeah.
The Asphalt Jungle.
Oh, a great film noir, you know, great crime drama, just, you know, works like a top.
What's a 1950s film that people may not know so much that you would say, even though this is a really long time ago, go back and watch this film?
Oh, gosh, I can't remember my list. Is there one that's that pops up for you?
Well, I don't know. I guess, you know, depends what group you're in, who knows what. Seven Samurai is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
How about The Importance of Being Earnest?
Well, that's a good one.
Through a 1950s
lens.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just the Oscar Wilde play, and on one level, it's very theatrical. It really is kind of just the play with kind of elaborate costumes, but it's got Dame Edith Evans in one of the lead roles, and this is a part that's never been played better by anyone, and you just you can't resist her.
And we see a little patter online for one of your 1950s films, which is Sweet Smell of Success.
Oh, my God, yeah. And that's such a great New York movie. And it's the dialogue, the Clifford Odette screenplay. It just crackles. Burt Lancaster, Tony Curtis. It's just wow.
Now, in your book, your essays aren't just critiques of the films. You also write about pivotal moments in cinema, roles that transformed careers or changed the trajectory of a genre. We're going to play a clip from Love Affair. This is a 1939 romance. And then I want you to tell us about how this movie continued to affect Hollywood decades later. This scene takes place on a boat bound for New York, where two passengers have fallen in love and are making plans to meet again in the future.
July 1st, 5 o'clock, 102nd floor, top of the Empire State Building.
Yes. That's it right there. It's the tallest building in the world. You can't miss that. It's the nearest thing to heaven we have in New York.
That's a heartbreaking line. You know, that puts me away every time I hear it. Well, you know, this is a film directed by Leo McCarey. He liked this film so much that he remade it himself as An Affair to Remember with Cary Grant about 20 years later. And decades past that, this became Sleepless in Seattle. This is the same story.
Let's jump to another clip way later. This is the only Clint Eastwood Western that you included on your list. It's Unforgiven from 1992.
It don't seem real. I ain't gonna never breathe again, ever. How he's dead. And the other one, too. All on account of pulling a trigger.
It's a hell of a thing, killing a man. You take away all he's got, and all he's ever gonna have.
Yeah. Well, I guess they had it coming.
We all have it coming, kid.
Clint Eastwood in his pre-empty chair days.
Yes. No, but that's a classic clip to pull because that's really what the film is about. I mean, Eastwood himself said that, you know, after a career of kind of making all these violent films, he made a film that really wants us to think about the cost of violence and, you know, what it does to people and that it's not just stuff that happens on the movies. It's real.
Wendy in Springfield, what's your 55th film?
Daughters of the Dust by Julie Dash, a black filmmaker, director. She broke the rules in terms of cinema and, you know, like camera shots happening in the bayou. And it's a wonderful film, and I know it's not on this list. I haven't looked at it, but I know it's not on there, right?
You're right.
Okay.
All right. We're asking for exactly that, ones that people may not know or may not think about. Vincent in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Vincent.
Hi. How Green Was My Valley, 1941, I believe.
Why?
Donald Crisp. Well, fabulous story of family, story of curing and love and then separation of a father and a son and all of those things that happen. And it starts with the great line from the book, which they also start the movie with, "I shall go from the valley now," and he's leaving his family after his father dies in a mining accident. It's a Welsh mining town.
Yeah.
And it won many Academy Awards. Was up against some of the great movies of that year, and was and as your guest said, I mean, it's one of those movies you can watch over and over again.
Vincent, thank you very much. I'm going to go to Tim in Brooklyn. Tim, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tim.
Hi, yes, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. I'm really torn between two. And first and foremost, I have to say for the 70s, I looked at the list on the Facebook page last night, and there were only two from the 70s.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, well, here's mine. The first of this man's films that I saw as an 18-year-old fresh in New York for music school 13 years ago was Woody Allen's Manhattan, and I just, it was so captivating, perhaps the greatest love story I've ever seen, and it captured New York City in a way that I don't think any other film has.
And what was your other one?
Fellini's 8 and a Half.
And Fellini influenced Woody Allen.
Yeah, yeah. No, those are all great films, you know. I mean, I could have done 1,000 films, you know. And when I hear these, I say, yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, why were there only two from the 70s on your list, The Godfather and Chinatown?
Which are great films. I mean, I stand behind those. You know, it's just the way it happened. I didn't put this together by decade. I wrote this book one by one, the films that called out to me that I cared the most about. And then when it ended, there needed to be some kind of organizing principle. So I said, why don't I break it down into decades and see what's happened? And I didn't know that I had done this, only selected two films. I was as shocked as readers are. I said, oh, my God, I only put two films in from the 70s.
And from our look at the list, romances do outnumber the rest in terms of genres.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's, you know, this book was, in a sense, a journey of self-discovery. You know, I really found out. I mean, I knew I was a romantic, but this really kind of nailed the, you know, nailed it down for me.
And the caller said Manhattan, for him, was the greatest love story ever on film. What were some of your greatest love stories?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I already mentioned Children of Paradise and another French film, Earrings of Madame Duh, is one of the great romances. A Random Harvest, which is a film almost no one ever talks about. Love Affair, which we just played the clip from. There's a ton of romances in there. I really enjoy that in film.
Oh, we mentioned To Be or Not to Be, which you point to as one of the earliest black comedies. It takes place in Poland, and in this early scene, they're rehearsing a play on stage. There's an actor playing Hitler. This was made in 42, so there's your dark comedy, even, you know, that early. And he seems to be taking some creative liberties with the role. The director isn't too pleased.
Heil Hitler!
Heil myself.
That's not in the script.
But, Mr. Dobosh, please.
That's not in the script, Mr. Brunsky.
But it'll get a laugh.
But I don't want a laugh here. How many times have I told you not to add any line? I want...
You want my opinion, Mr. Dobosh?
No, Mr. Greenberg, I do not want your opinion.
All right, let me give you my reaction. A laugh is nothing to be sneezed at.
You've seen this film so many times, and you're sitting here laughing.
I love this stuff. I mean, this is so impeccably done. This is so beautifully written, directed, and acted. I mean, these things are just flawless. You could watch them forever.
All right, so we have a couple minutes. We'll do one more clip just for fun because we pulled 28 seconds of Alfred Hitchcock's Vertigo, which is on your list, James Stewart, Kim Novak, an exchange between the two as they walk through a forest of redwoods.
Oh, some 2,000 years or more.
The oldest living things.
Yes. You've never been here before?
No.
What do you think?
All the people who've been born and have died where the trees were not living?
Their true name is Sequoia sempervirens. Always green, ever living.
I don't like
them. Why?
Knowing I have to die.
And we picked Vertigo, besides for the sheer joy of the audio, because you point out in the book that it sort of puzzled critics at the time and was actually met with very lukewarm reviews.
Yeah. Critics didn't like it. I mean, it's a film that was kind of out of its time. We connect to it more today. It's a weird film. It's a film about obsession. It's a very personal film by Hitchcock, even though he used huge stars like, you know, Jimmy Stewart and Kim Novak. This was kind of about the weird stuff that went on in his own mind.
All right. My guest has been Ken Turan, the film critic for the Los Angeles Times and NPR's Morning Edition, and author now of Not to Be Missed, 54 Favorite Films. These are his favorites from a lifetime of viewing. This has been so much fun.
I enjoyed it. I could go on forever.
You could. Why 54 of all numbers in the world?
It was random, but then it's really three times high. Multiples of 18 in Jewish tradition are lucky, and I gravitated towards that without even realizing it.
Thanks, Ken. Folks, post your 55th.
It's still the same old story, a fight for love and glory, a case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time.